are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again on a Mailbag Monday episode of the show. We're less than 2 weeks out, actually a week and a half out from the NFL draft. It's getting close, man. It's getting so close. Speaking of the NFL draft, before we get into the 49ers stuff here on this podcast, I got to let all of you guys know, you got to run over to Locked On NFL. We've got a major NFL channel here on the Locked On Podcast Network, a collaborative effort. I am co-hosting along with Locked On NFL host Matt Williamson. We're hosting a network-wide mock draft. It's awesome. We've got all the hosts in their war rooms making selections for their teams. It's a five-day event going through the first round. We've got analysts, we've got the full power of the network on display, so many smart people, and it's a fun group all coming together in this mock draft special event. It's on Locked On NFL. It's hosted by Matt Williamson and myself. Go to Locked On NFL and find that, because it's going to be a must-listen podcast. It's as if you're listening to the draft happen live in front of you, and anybody jonesing out there for the draft, I think this is going to be a really fun exercise. So go subscribe to Locked On NFL and catch that. It's running this week, Monday through Friday. And just because your team might draft in a certain spot, there are trades in this mock draft. So you're going to want to be on your toes and listen to all 5 days of this thing, because your team might pop up again. A little spoiler there. I'm not going to say which teams might be moving around in this draft, but there are multiple trades. And it was really a fun thing to put together, and I encourage everybody to go check it out this week on the Locked On NFL program. You can get involved in the podcast here by sending a mailbag question to me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers.com, for the podcast, where to subscribe, and other articles. And you can get Locked On 49ers on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So let's fire up this 49ers Monday mailbag. Let's start with Uprise 49, who asks, how come you haven't mentioned Taylor Rapp as a potential prospect for the 49ers? Thank you for the question. Taylor Rapp is a really good safety prospect out of the University of Washington. And the reason I haven't mentioned Taylor Rapp is just because I've been so focused on looking for what the 49ers need. And I don't think Taylor Rapp fits that single high free safety mold. And that's really the names I've been bringing up, is the guys who I think fit there. Those are the players I would expect the 49ers to be drafting. And I like Taylor Rapp a lot. And I think if you're running a too high safety scheme, then Taylor Rapp's maybe more of a fit, or maybe more of a strong safety. I think just range wise, even though he's really instinctive and he moves well in a short area, and I like Taylor Rapp a lot, but just the pure range, just going straight sideline to sideline, being a single high safety, I don't think he's that, which is why I haven't mentioned him a lot. And there's a couple other safeties in a pretty good safety class, like Jonathan Abram, just a thumper. Dude hits hard. One of my favorite safeties actually in this class. And if you're looking for a strong safety, I would say that's your guy. And he could go as high as the first round. I like him a lot, but I haven't mentioned him for the 49ers because I'm strictly looking at that single high safety, that super rangy player that can still come down and run support and take good angles there against the run, but really can get from sideline to sideline and be that middle of the field safety. And there's only about five names that I've been talking about a lot, because those are the players that I think can have an impact and become starters early in their career at that position for the 49ers. So that's why I've been focusing more on other names and not guys like Taylor Rapp and Abram, who are players I really like, but just I don't think fits in exactly what the 49ers are going to be looking for in this draft. But I could be wrong. Maybe the 49ers love those guys. And Taylor Rapp is interesting because he went to the combine and had a pretty good workout. He's 6 feet, 208 pounds, kind of short arms, but he's a really good player. He's a good tackler. He's instinctive. He can cover. And he threw down 17 bench press reps, 35-inch vertical, really good short area stuff, three cones, sub 7 seconds, which is really good, sub 4 seconds in the 20-yard shuttle, which is great. But he didn't run a 40, which is weird because he's so good in these other drills. And it's like, okay. And maybe these drills are more important in the end than a pure 40 time. So he goes to Washington's pro day and he runs a 4.74, which is awful for a safety. And there's people talking about Taylor Rapp in the first round conversation, and they just, that doesn't happen. You don't draft safeties, especially in this day and age, that run that slow and that run 4.7 40s. You don't even draft linebackers that run 4.7 40s. So I got to believe Taylor Rapp's going to fall a bit. And for a certain team that's running a too high safety scheme, I think they're going to potentially even get a steal in Taylor Rapp. I just don't think he's a fit for what the 49ers are looking for. So that's why I haven't talked a lot about Taylor Rapp, even though I think he's a really good football player, and we'll see where he goes. But I would be worried about drafting a guy who runs that slow, and maybe it doesn't end up showing up. I mean, you can tell he's not a burner on the football field, but that he's good in the short areas, which I like. So you want to keep him in a short area. You want to play probably strong safety in the NFL. Keep him near the line of scrimmage where he's not exposed trying to cover guys deep down the field. Moving on to James on Twitter, who has a good question. He says, with all of the trade-down scenarios out there, would you rather have 2 second-tier players or 1 Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams type? Because, and thank you for listening to the show, James. He says, first tier as you describe it. Yes, I think Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams are alone in the first tier of the draft, and there's a number of guys in that second tier. If the 49ers did trade down, players I'd be looking at. What is your rank order of preference with trades, drafting, best player available, etc.? I got to really put some more work in here and in the final stretch before and have a nice list and a nice top 50 for you guys, and some, especially for the important positions, you know, the edge guys and the wide receivers and safeties and things like that. I want to have my list of prospects and my rankings there, and have that on the website as well as talk about it on the podcast. And I haven't finalized that stuff, and we're getting close. Obviously we're 10 days away from the draft. So I got to have that finalized pretty soon here. And I have some time coming up in the next couple of weeks that I should be able to get that in sometime soon and talk about it in probably that week leading up to the draft, and really and have that tightened up and have a finalized list of how I like these players exactly. And I know some of the names, some of them are really close, and that's why you put them in tiers, because then things like need or positional, you know, scheme fit makes more of a difference, and you might shuffle it within a tier, but by putting them in tiers, you don't jump tiers. Like, I'm not going to say, well, maybe Josh Allen's a great fit for the 49ers at, say, Sam linebacker. Maybe it's a perfect need for what the 49ers have as a Sam linebacker who rushes from a defensive end position on third downs. But I don't think he belongs in the tier of Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams. So I'm, even despite need or whatever, he's not going to jump that tier. I'm still going to take from that level of players. So to answer your question, 2 second-tier players versus 1 Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams, yeah, I might take 2 second-tier players, but I don't know if that trade is on the table for the 49ers to actually pick twice from that group. Because then you're saying, like, so let's say Brian Burns and DK Metcalf. If you could get both of those guys for 1 Nick Bosa or 1 Quinnen Williams, then yeah, it'd probably be worth the chance to try to hit that home run twice and potentially once with one of those two guys and have 2 really good players versus 1 player who maybe upside-wise isn't even at the level of either one of those guys, even though he's more likely to reach his really, really good upside, but it just might not be quite as high. So yes and no, it would depend on what the trade is. I don't think a trade exists that the 49ers could get 2 players out of what ends up being my second tier. It'd be more like you get 1 player in the second tier, and then you get an extra player in the third tier, which is still a pretty good trade, and sometimes that would be worth it. And so it kind of depends, and I might be able to answer that question if we had a little bit more of an exact idea of what the trade would be and what exact players would have a good idea of who would be drafting from in those spots. And that's the thing with trading down, is you don't know who's going to be there. Some, you know, because you don't get to decide by, you know, you don't get to take it back when you get to that point after the trade down and be like, I actually don't like who's here anymore. So that's what makes it tough about trading down, and sometimes teams are a little bit – they're risk averse, and they don't want to miss out on this one good player. And so they say no to really great offers because they fear the unknown, and they want to take that player that's staring at them that they know they already like. All right, good question so far. I got a lot of good ones here in the queue that I'll get to very shortly after we take this quick break. More mailbag coming up. To Niner Nate on Twitter, is it safe to say that your draft crush may be Brian Burns? You've been dropping a lot of hints. I've been mentioning Brian Burns' name a lot. I think mostly just to kind of even things out, because Brian Burns doesn't get talked about enough, and Brian Burns deserves to be in that second tier. But it's as if there's some huge chasm after, say, Josh Allen to Brian Burns. And to me, they're neck and neck. And if you – I'm not going to fight you for saying any of those guys are your best – are the, say, the third best player in this draft. So basically, I will fight you if you say Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams aren't in the top tier. But I won't fight you if you say, okay, I have it listed as Burns, then Josh Allen, then DK Metcalf, whatever. I would say, yeah, that makes sense. And if you said, you know what, DK Metcalf is too freaky and he should be the top of the second tier, and then it's Burns, and then it's Josh Allen, and then it's Cleveland Farrell or, you know, whoever, and, you know, Jonah Williams, whatever players you have that second tier, I'm not going to fight you within that tier. So that's kind of how I look at these things. Brian Burns being my draft crush, I don't know. I like Brian Burns. I don't think he's been talked enough by big media. One thing I will say about Brian Burns is he doesn't show a lot of power in college. Like, he doesn't show any power as a rusher in college. And that's a little bit frightening for me to be like, okay, he is the guy. He is the best. He's going to be the best pass rusher in this class because he's too finesse. And you see the same thing with Josh Allen. Josh Allen, though, has the body type and big, strong legs. And you can see where, okay, maybe it's more of a technique and it's more of an attitude thing, or it's more of a just, you know, learning the nuance of being a pass rusher for Josh Allen, to where you're just not going to ask Brian Burns to be really putting a lot of a power element into his game. Although he has gained some weight since he played in the fall, and he still ran insanely good and still moved insanely good in those field drills at the combine. So maybe he has added enough strength to where he can start adding more of that element to his pass rush. But that's why I would sort of slow the roll. And I've seen some people who I think are really good evaluators, a couple of people really love Brian Burns, and they have him up at the very top of the draft. I think it's Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network and Draft Dudes, who, by the way, makes an appearance, multiple appearances in the Locked On Podcast Network mock draft special. I believe he's got Brian Burns as the second best prospect in the entire draft, has him as the number one edge guy, even over Bosa. And I can't do that with him just because he doesn't show any power element to his game. And every great pass rusher has a little bit of that, whether it's just a long arm move or can give a little bit of a bull rush. You have to have a little bit of a power element. And it's not that he won't be able to incorporate some of that, especially with his added weight. And if he continues to add weight and keep that strength up, but he hasn't displayed it yet. So that's where I would pause on Brian Burns being super high on him. But once you trade down in the draft, there's a very good chance he could be one of the top players on my board, depending on how far down the 49ers move. And don't be super surprised if Brian Burns is one of those players that falls further than most people expect, just because he's so thin and he's not going to fit the prototype that's like half the teams in the league are looking for, basically, because he's not so much. I mean, he's sort of like a Manny Lawson sort of off-ball linebacker, or like how Anthony Barr got drafted by the Vikings at number 9 overall, but then they didn't even use his pass rush skill set in the NFL, and they just played him as a pure 4-3 outside linebacker. Some teams might like him like that. He's got the athleticism to do it and just play him that way. But I really think the teams that are going to like him the most are the teams that run the 3-4 defense and be that outside linebacker in a 3-4. That's where I think he fits best, and that would be a nice fit for what the 49ers have, the strong side linebacker, because he can do the off-ball linebacker stuff. He's plenty athletic to do that, you know, go cover the flats, but then he's a good pass rusher too, and he's got some pass rush skills, and then he could hone more of a power move and add a little bit more of an element there. And you can be a finesse rusher in the NFL. You don't have to be all power or anything like that, but NFL teams love, like, what? Go back to any draft and watch what, you know, everyone likes the receivers and the fast guys and everything. Go back and watch how NFL drafts unfold, and the big guys is the ones that everyone sleeps on. So the big guys are going to go early, and they always do. And these old school GMs and old school coaches, they're like, we got to stop the run first. So someone like Cleveland Farrell going ahead of Brian Burns, even though I don't have him ranked that way, don't be shocked when that happens. Let's move over to some emails here. I got one from Ben. He said, hey, Brian, keep up the good work, my man. I really love this podcast. You speak directly to my football heart. I'm a lifelong 49ers fan and a draft weirdo. You had me at Shadow 49ers. Yes, thank you. Love the fellow draft weirdos. And that's one of the things I love about this podcast is you're thinking, well, you're going to do 4 times per week in the offseason. What could you possibly talk about? I run into people all the time. They're like, what? You do a football podcast 4 times a week in March, in April. I'm like, yeah, it's easy. It's almost easier. the draft is crazy. I'm a draft weirdo. So this show is for other people who either are also draft weirdos or they just don't know yet about the draft and they want to be informed on some players and they want to have more fun at the draft and learn about some prospects and not have to put in the work themselves, which is totally great. And I love that too. So welcome all draft weirdos and all future draft weirdos here to Locked On 49ers. Shout out to Ben. Thank you for the question here. He says, so yeah, I'm in the throes of draft fatigue. Those dog days of April where every prospect has been dissected, nitpicked to death, every flaw grotesquely illuminated until I'm sure they aren't the one for the 49ers, no matter how flawless the draft grade. That says, and again, I'm speaking from the dark nether regions of deep draft season, should it be a concern that Nick Bosa is deleting his Trump-loving tweets where he called Kaepernick a clown because, in his words, he might end up in San Francisco? He says it's hard to separate the person from the player sometimes. And yeah, so he goes on about, and I understand where certain fans might be. And it's a smart move by Bosa. Like, if you, and look what, I mean, Kaepernick's a great example. If you want to have a career and not piss anybody off, don't talk about politics because it's obviously something that somebody's going to be mad if you say something one way or the other. So I think Nick Bosa's smart for deleting his old tweets that might be skewed in a certain direction and just not bringing it up. It doesn't help him at all, really. And so I think it's a smart move. And if he's going to be in San Francisco, probably not, you know, although there are people on both sides of the aisle, even in San Francisco, even though it leans, you know, way more in one direction, obviously. It just, yeah, it's smart for any prospect. If I was an agent for a prospect, I would just say don't ever tweet about politics. And sometimes there's really big issues that a player really has to be involved with. And that's what Kaepernick did. And Kaepernick's still paying for that. So I think it's a smart move for Bosa just to stay out of that stuff. And some of it was old stuff and maybe he feels differently and people change too. That's the other thing. These are young men. My ideas have changed since I was 21 years old, right? So, and even Kaepernick was kissing his own bicep in his mid-20s. And then after one offseason, he showed up and he was a completely different guy. And we're like, whoa, okay. And so something affected him. And I don't ever want to be someone that's telling people not to speak out for what they believe in. But really, when it comes to politics and anymore, really just with the current political environment, the pissing match that it has become, keep it separate from your football stuff. And you're going to be better off when you're done playing football. You can be an activist for whatever you want. I think that career-wise, that's the smarter way to play it. And that's the right way for Bosa to be doing it right now. He's going to be a good football player. And as long as he's a good dude, and he's been, by all accounts, a really well-liked teammate and a good locker room presence at Ohio State, there's going to be differing views in the world and in an NFL locker room. And there should be. So I don't see any problem in it. And some people really are trying to make a big deal out of it and maybe a bigger deal than it is. And trying to find some things that aren't there, it's not an issue unless he says something really crazy and really stupid, in which case maybe, you know, then you start to take him off of your draft board. But, you know, whatever. He just has some political leanings. That's not enough to erase the young man from your draft board or anything like that. And maybe it was the 49ers. I mean, I'm sure he was asked about this. People ask about the craziest stuff. I'm sure they're going to ask about something that somebody's vocal about on social media. Maybe the 49ers ask him about it. Maybe they're like, hey, if we asked you to, would you stop tweeting about this stuff? Would you delete stuff? Maybe he's like, yeah, dude, I don't care. Who knows? There's no telling where this came from, but probably his agent's like, yeah, just don't. Just be vanilla, man. Play the middle of that road, right down the fairway. That's where you're going to make the most money. All right, that's enough about that. We will take a quick break here, back with more Locked On 49ers mailbag. And remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On 49ers on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On 49ers. So yeah, to the last emailer's point, the original point, this is silly season, man. Things are crazy. Teams throwing out fake rumors, and it's over analysis season for sure. Analysis paralysis. It's way too much, and you're second guessing yourself and new prospects. This guy's, oh, someone you never heard of. Oh, this is a first round player. This guy, it's nuts. It's a nutty time of season. You gotta just calm yourself down, get into your zone, trust the tape, and you'll be in good shape and avoid all the stuff. But draft season does go on too long. I think it might I think it might be one of the reasons so many teams screw up so much, because there's so much time that goes into it. You think about the NBA, the season ends and there's the drafts right away. Major League Baseball drafts during the season. You got 4 months to sit there and overthink everything and overanalyze everything if not only you're a draft nick, but especially imagine an NFL team with millions of dollars and all of this at stake and you're trying to draft guys. Imagine the weird decisions that get made and the decisions that happen because there's just too much time and too much information, I think, a lot of times. Can the dude play? Draft good players. That's what it's all about. My guy Sully's got a question here. He says, as we're getting closer to the draft, give us your ideal draft pick for each 49er pick in 2019. Sully, that we're getting into spoiler mode here. I don't want to spoil my Shadow 49ers draft or anything like that. I am going to drop a mock draft before the draft, so I'm going to talk about some of those things. But I'm going to sidestep that question right now, and I think I've talked a lot about what scenarios are going to look like there. And basically, in a vague way, it's just best player at, you got edge, you're going to go wide receiver or safety in the next couple of rounds, depending on who's there and how the board falls. You're trying to find an offensive lineman that can potentially be a starter there in day three, but you start trying to find starters in day three. It's not always possible. That's a difficult task. So you need depth for this team, and trying to attack a certain position at the top of round four when maybe there's a great player or the best player that you have on your board at a position you don't need. And maybe you got to do that. And you got to continue to build depth even if the board doesn't fall perfectly your way as far as what you're trying to do need-wise. But I think the 49ers can accomplish most of what they need. And we'll talk a little bit more about like an actual perfect mock and, of course, the Shadow 49ers as we get to the draft. But I don't want to go in detail in each pick yet because I don't want to spoil it for you guys. And the other thing is the draft is so crazy. If you did a mock where like, oh, this player is going to be available here because everyone mocks him there and everyone says he's ranked this and they go two rounds ahead of that. Or the opposite, they go undrafted. You know, guy in the third round, you think he's a third round player. Everyone's loved him the whole process. Worked out well. Teams don't like him and he just goes undrafted. So there's so much crazy stuff that can happen. You can never know who that one player is like, oh my gosh, this guy's here? Now that's the pick. Got an email here from Marlon. He says, what's up, Brian? I was listening to the Lefko podcast on Bleacher Report yesterday and he interviewed Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State. I must say that I was impressed by Jonathan Abram's confidence. He believes he's the best safety in the draft, but I know that your safety crush is Thornhill and Savage. My biggest takeaway from the interview was that he said his teammate Sweat was by far the best defensive player in the draft over Bosa and Williams. What are your thoughts on what he had to say? And on another note, he said that if Jeffrey Simmons didn't tear his ACL, he would have been talked about as the best interior defensive lineman. So Marlon, shout out to Marlon from Philly. Shout out to all my listeners in Philly. I know you guys are probably, it's a rough go over there being a 49ers fan in Philly land, but just keep it going. Keep up the faith. Let's see. Jonathan Abram. I love Jonathan Abram. The confidence is obvious. He plays with the confidence. You don't even need to. And like what these guys say, it's like it's from a script. It's like I don't even care. Like, of course, he's going to say his teammates the best. It matters none. It matters none at all to me. What I see is the confidence he plays with. And Jonathan Abrams has that. He has that confidence. I like Jonathan Abram a lot. But him talking up his teammates, that makes a lot of sense. The Jeffrey Simmons thing, though, if Jeffrey Simmons didn't tear his ACL, he would absolutely be talked about. I think a lot of teams probably just straight up from their evaluation have him as a top five, maybe a top 5 to 10 player in this draft, but he's going to fall a bit, maybe into the first round now. Maybe a team takes a shot at him at the early second round. It's hard to tell. He's also got a little off-field thing that happened early on in his career. I think he was a freshman. And the way I understand the story, and I haven't looked super deep into it, but the way I understand the story is Simmons was trying to come to the aid of like his mom and his sister were getting like attacked by some other women. And so he jumped in. And then so now he's got like this assault. I don't even know if he got an assault charge or I think just it was caught on video, the whole thing where it was him and a woman, but he's defending his family. So it's a weird situation. It wasn't like he was beating on his girlfriend or anything like that. And you don't ever touch a woman and you don't ever condone that, but it was just a weird situation that he's also dealing with. He was going to have to deal with that aside from his ACL injury. So yeah, these extra things that don't have anything to do with his ability to play football are really going to affect his draft stock. All right, let's keep this going on email with Anthony. And this episode seems to be about people that I've forgotten in the eyes of my listeners. Guys, I don't talk about as much as some people like and some people like the players. One of them is Miles Boykin. I've had multiple people asking me why I'm not all about Miles Boykin. This Anthony says, I saw this on YouTube. He seems like he went to Notre Dame. I really want the 49ers to get this guy. I agree with what you said about him looking a little lumbering, especially being so big and a little lanky off the line. But I think what Boykin could give the 49ers, and maybe I'm crazy here, a second George Kittle. I think they could play a similar physical style. Boykin loves to run block, and schematically I think Shanahan could line Boykin up at tight end or motion Kittle out to Z. I hope he's there when we pick in the third. I think third round is about the right spot for Miles Boykin. There's a chance he goes before that, and I think that would be a little bit too rich for me, despite how great he worked out. He just doesn't play to those workout numbers, and I would even wait around to see if maybe he was there in the fourth. I don't think you necessarily need to go as far as to convert him to tight end. But yeah, you know, big slot, just the big slot role. There's a number of players in this draft that could do that. You know, Hakeem Butler did a lot of slot, especially his junior season or his redshirt sophomore season as it was. Second to last year, he was in the slot almost all the time when Alan Lazard was on the outside. A.J. Brown's been almost 100% a slot guy, just a few games out there on the outside. N'Keal Harry, a big slot. There's a lot of that type of player in this draft, and I could see Miles Boykin being used like that. But I wouldn't go as far as to do anything where you make him the tight end, you make George Kittle the right receiver. You don't have to go that far with it. But what you're saying about the versatility makes sense, and it is nice that you can have guys that you can move around. You can move George Kittle outside, and you have a wide receiver who can block people, so you can have him play that big slot role. You can still run the ball. He could bully the DBs that are in front of him, and that way you run the ball out of your nickel offense. Okay, let's finish it off with Tyrone here. I'm going to try to answer this one as short as possible. He said, what's up, BP? The pod gets better by the day. Thank you so much, Tyrone. He said, I want to send you and your wife props on being able to balance work, the move into a new house, and manage what I would imagine keeping little Leo comfortable all the same time. Yes, that is very difficult, and usually sleep is the thing that goes away from all that, but major props to my wife for being amazing, and it's all worth it because little Leo is just our bundle of joy for sure. It's life-changing to have a baby and how much love for this little man. It's crazy. My question is, in the sub-package, can you see Bosa, if drafted, and Buckner as the DEs, Solly and Blair in the middle, and Ford, Warner, and Kwon as the linebackers? In sub, no, not really. In sub, it's pretty simple. You could move these guys around and have some fun with it and try to gain some advantages by moving players around, but it's Ford and Bosa on the outside. It's Buckner, and you get to rotate the other guy next to them. And these guys aren't on the field 100% of the time, so you're going to be able to rotate in Solly. You're going to be able to rotate in Armstead. You're going to be able to rotate in Ronald Blair. All these guys will get their time, and then Warner and Kwon are your linebackers. And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thank you so much to everybody for getting those mailbag questions in. Keep them coming. If I didn't get to yours, still got this Winky Wednesday coming. We'll dip into the mailbag once again. And don't forget the Locked On Podcast Network 2019 NFL Mock Draft Special, co-hosted by yours truly on the Locked On NFL channel. Go subscribe and download those all week long. It's super fun. The trades, all of the analysts, all of the folks involved in the football side of the Locked On Podcast Network getting involved is an awesome show to put together. And I hope it's a lot of fun for you guys to listen to. So go check out that mock draft special on Locked On NFL. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.